In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, until the ages of ages. Amen. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. As we mentioned many times before, St. James brings up a variety of subjects that concern the early church and the Christians, and he attempts to correct and present the orthodox or true position. He wants the Christian brothers complete and blameless, as perfect as humanly possible. Needless to say, we as Christians today have a great deal of deficiencies, and we cause the name of Christ great harm by our own actions. The topic that St. James introduces now is the topic of the tongue, which he separates into two different parts, the tongue and its use as a teaching instrument, and the use of our tongue in our daily lives. So the tongue is used to teach with, and it is also our main means of communication on a daily basis. So not many of you should act as teachers. And with this, we may get the impression that St. James is suggesting that we should avoid having too many teachers. But the Lord said, pray that the Lord may send you teachers to his vineyard. One of the most basic responsibilities of the workers of the vineyard is the preaching of the Word of God. And the Word of God is tremendously important. Again, it would seem that St. James is trying to discourage or talk people out of being teachers in the church. But as we will see more clearly when we study the entire subject, he does not mean this. What St. James means is that there are certain people who are moved by selfish ambition, by vainglory, and these conceited people are striving to assume teaching positions in the church, or to rise to the pulpit, or to have around them a group of people to talk to without any other works. Even though they do not have the gift of teaching, as we will see in our discussion, the result being that the gospel itself may be ridiculed because of their incompetence and inappropriate lifestyle, doing great harm to the church by their inconsistency. And in reality, this is a serious matter because there has never been a lack of individuals wanting to pass themselves along as teachers. We all want to be teachers and not students. But we all know that we must first be a short order cook before we can become a chef. We must be a sailor before we can become a captain. So we must first pass by the desk of the listener or the student, and after much learning, after we increase our knowledge a great deal, and we maintain our humility, and after all this takes place, then if the calling is there, then we can proceed to teach other people. So now we can begin to understand the spirit of this verse, which we will analyze a little bit more. So St. James wants to stop those that are eager to assume the position of the teacher for all the wrong reasons. People may want to teach to gratify selfish ambition, to be in charge, to self-promote, to exercise some control on other people. Yes, some people can use teaching for an ego trip, even though they may not be worthy to teach. We must pay some close attention to this point because there's much depth. When he says, not many of you become teachers, St. James wants to preserve the value of the Word of God. For example, when we try to advise our young people, my child, whether boy or girl, watch yourself, control yourself before you get married. Do not seek to have premarital relations. And do you know why the church tells you this? In order to preserve the beauty of the marriage. Because when our young people succumb and pollute themselves with all kinds of bodily pleasures before marriage, then they will continue to be psychologically and subconsciously deformed in their marriage. So for someone to truly enjoy all the dimensions of the sacrament of marriage with a true and pure love, he must stay away from every immorality until he gets married. So in order to enjoy and preserve the beauty of the marriage, you must stay away from all the illicit and secretive tastes of sin. Unfortunately, in our days, people who have no understanding whatsoever will attempt to do the opposite. I will try and practice outside of the marriage to know how to live when I get married. But we see the result for years now. From the time that it became fashionable to try things out before marriage, we began to lose marriages, especially in the second half of our century. So our recent generations are losing marriages when the generations of the last 19 centuries not trying things out before marriage, they conquered. They were victorious over their marriage. The crowns that our church uses to crown the couple during the sacrament signify that these young Christians were victorious. They conquered the temptation of the flesh and maintain themselves pure. We mentioned this as an example, and this is to show that in the same way, when we choose to have the Word of God to be preached and taught by people that have the ability to teach, then we preserve the power and the authority and the height of the Word of God. Saint Isidore the Pirusiotis says, the sermon must be maintained at the highest of standards, at the highest level. The truth of the gospel are the truths of the gospel are of great caliber. But when you, the priest or the preacher, don't know how to talk, then because of your incompetence, and Saint Isidore considers this as one of the qualities of the priest, to be able to talk, then people will think that the gospel is not capable to confront the everyday problems of our life. So the weakness of the preacher can be dangerous to the gospel. So St. James, in order to preserve and maintain the preaching of the gospel on the highest level possible, that's why he says, do not be in a hurry to become a teacher, because you will mess things up. Outside of Orthodoxy, especially in the born-again group of Christians, we see the result of this type of thing, where people will have an emotional experience. They will denounce drugs or alcohol or loose living. And within a month or two, these people are out ministering and preaching. And they attract some listeners in their communities. 6 months later, when the adrenaline level wears off, when the newness wears off, then the house of cards crumbles. St. Paul was a scholar, a great scholar of the law. He was visited by Christ in a grandiose fashion. He was blinded by the light. He was handpicked by Christ to teach the nations. The nations needed St. Paul desperately. They needed him yesterday. What did St. Paul do? Spent 3 years in training, at least. He went to Arabia, and after 3 years, he went up to Jerusalem to formally begin his mission. Was St. Paul any less intelligent or knowledgeable than the teachers of today? Or was St. Paul thinking, what makes me so different than the other 12 apostles? They spent 3 years in training, following the Lord day after day, and after 3 years, they graduated from students to teachers, so to speak. The fact is that St. Paul was a convert, and the greatest convert to Christianity. Today, we have a great deal of converts to Orthodoxy, and that's great. That's wonderful. What's even more exciting is the fact that a lot of ex-pastors and ex-bishops of Protestant denominations are joining Orthodoxy, and again, that's very exciting. What's not so exciting and quite disturbing is the fact that after some pastors convert to Orthodoxy, they feel that they mastered the faith and become priests within 6 months to a year. Again, we are delighted that these brothers are coming to Orthodoxy, but to assume the responsibility of leading an Orthodox flock after 6 months to a year, well, this is somewhat questionable. Let's see what St. Paul says to Timothy. An overseer, meaning a person in holy orders, Timothy 1:3, an overseer must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. The sincere and wise converts that come to the church, full of contrition and humility, will at least follow the example of St. Paul. And let's not be deceived. The Orthodox Church does not need them today any more urgently than it needed St. Paul 2,000 years ago. So St. James wants to preserve the high quality of the preaching. This means that the preaching of the word should be kept pure and genuine and orthodox, and should not reflect the desires of the speaker. This is a great temptation, to use the gospel to reinforce some erroneous beliefs and some terrible passions, for the simple fact that these false teachers live a life of falsehood, and they would like to justify their own lifestyle. Outside of Orthodoxy, homosexual pastors will suggest that St. Paul was, I'm sorry that this will offend the ears of some of our pure listeners, but these evil pastors are suggesting that St. Paul was a homosexual. Or the feminist pastors will call him a woman hater. Such nonsense. In our Orthodox circles, when a speaker does not stress fasting or belittles the importance of fasting, it only means that he does not fast. So the teaching of the gospel must be maintained pure. Also, the teacher should be self-controlled and serious, because preaching is a serious matter. Many preachers today search the comics to find a joke or two to make the congregation laugh. A preacher is not a comedian. The salvation of the soul is not a laughing matter. Jokes and funnies have no place in the Orthodox preaching of the Word of God. The preacher can sometimes use satire to bring out the foolishness of some bad belief to neutralize any teaching of that nature. I will never forget a few years ago in a Sunday school class where I had 6-7 bright-eyed students, and a number of them are still attending our Bible classes, thank God. So I was teaching against the theory of evolution, and one of the students, to my surprise, said, I believe that we evolved from apes. What's wrong with that? Very quickly, one of his classmates answered, "That's because you look like one." Of course, this was not very polite, and mature Christians don't behave this way, but they were only 14-year-olds. The laughter that followed neutralized the response of the student and put the subject to rest. So the preacher can ridicule a false theory and may present it in a way to make the audience laugh. But this should be very seldom. Quality preaching is also to present deep theological mysteries, to explain doctrine, to challenge the faithful. Powerful and quality preaching magnetizes, attracts, moves, and helps the audience, initiates the audience to start searching and understanding the truths of the gospel. So it is extremely important to have people that teach the Word of God, just like Christ said, "Pray to the Father to send you workers in the vineyard, workers to teach." In the early church, there were permanent teachers of the Word of God. Some were stationed at a certain place, and others would travel. And these teachers were highly esteemed, the true and genuine teachers, that is. Now, as far as the false and bad teachers, using this position to take advantage of the faithful, the apostles instructed to oppose and walk these teachers out of town. In the book of the teachings of the apostles, we find a terrible word describing some of these evil teachers. They are called Christ marketers. They market Christ. Christembori, meaning they market Christ, they market the gospel to live well, to help their finances. In reality, he who markets Christ does not believe in Christ. He changes Christ into a product, into a means to achieve his financial desires. Today, with the aid of television, Christ marketers fleece the unsuspecting and confused flocks. A big difference from the apostles of Christ who lived in sheer poverty. We must be careful where and from what source we receive our spiritual food. We select and inspect our everyday food before we buy it, so let's not buy whatever someone wants to sell us over the airwaves. We will seek out competent teachers of orthodoxy, and we will not stop evangelizing just because we are not born or ready teachers. If we cannot answer some questions, we will encourage the person to come to our study class or to listen to a cassette. We can do plenty of things to evangelize, to spread the gospel, but the actual teaching we will leave to people that are mature in that respect. So let's see what are some of the qualifications of a person who wants to engage in teaching. Initially, this person must have deep faith. How can someone teach without believing? Without exception, the teacher must believe everything that he teaches. Number two, he must have a general knowledge of the faith. He must know the faith in its totality, and not in bits and pieces. He must know the faith in some detail. The preacher that does not have an outline or an understanding of the content of the gospel will never be able to transmit the content of the gospel to the listeners, and this is of great importance. It's impossible to transmit the faith if I don't totally understand the faith. I must know the Alpha and the Omega of Christianity, the purpose of Christianity. Many of our preachers today talk constantly to our faithful without ever telling them the purpose of Christianity. They themselves do not know it, because if they did, they would constantly mention it to their listeners. We must know the purpose of Christianity, the way of Christianity, and its goal. We ignore all this. Today, teachers and students, all of us, know bits and pieces of our faith. We do not study enough. We cannot tie things together. We do not have the complete picture. And because of this, we stay ineffective. The teacher must also live the corresponding lifestyle. Practice what you preach, we often say to someone, and the strong teacher will practice his teachings. We are all weak, we all make some mistakes, but to live a life of total inconsistency compared to our teachings, this will not be taken lightly by the audience. The audience will begin to punish us sooner or later, and they will stop listening. They will stop coming to our teachings. They will stop showing up when they see that our lifestyle does not reflect our teachings or the gospel. The teacher must also be a responsible human being. This is true in all levels of teaching. The children of public schools must be taught correct things. Their future depends on it. We as parents must be responsible to train our children. How much more responsible must we be when we are teaching the Word of God? We are dealing with immortal souls, souls that Christ Himself died for. Let's never forget this when we're teaching the Word of God. It is also important to realize that the ability to teach in general, and especially when the Word of God is involved, is a gift from God. Sometimes we want to develop inexistent qualities and gifts. So the basis for teaching the gospel is based on the gift that God gave us, and based on this gift, we will be called by God and by the people. The person who has this gift may have the inner knowledge, or he may not be able to see it himself, but the rest of the faithful who see his gift will keep persisting to convince him to teach. So the combination of an inner feeling and the presence of the gift, the calling from God, the calling from the people, these are all necessary elements that will bring forth a teacher. He must feel God's calling, and he must feel a positive response and acceptance from the public. And he must also have the feeling that he can produce. If the above is lacking, then teaching can be a tremendous burden and not at all an easy task. Needless to say, I don't consider myself a teacher. I'm simply transferring some orthodox information from one country to another and changing the language. So I pray to God that I am not judged very strictly. We also pray that by the grace of God, we hope that the spirit of the teachings of Father Athanasios will not be altered in any way in the process by my human deficiencies.